Today, the fourth Sunday of Easter, is traditionally known as Good Shepherd Sunday because of the gospel we hear about the Good Shepherd in all 3 years, A, B, and C, we hear this gospel. In the image of the Good Shepherd, Christ the Good Shepherd, I think oftentimes evokes a certain sentimentality in our minds. Who doesn't love the image of Jesus carrying a lamb on his shoulder and leading it back to the fold? Especially when we acknowledge that we've been that lamb. I know I've been that lamb who didn't even know it was lost. And Christ has come and found me again and again, actually, to lead me back home. But I want us to see the bigger picture here as well. When Jesus says he's the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep, he's speaking about Good Friday. And who are the wolves? Who are the enemies that he alludes to? Who are those wolves he's going to save us from? The devil and his demons, and even sin and death itself. And then Jesus goes on to mention another crucial detail. He talks about the voice of the Good Shepherd. If sheep are going to survive, it's necessary that they recognize and heed their shepherd's voice, and not a voice of a stranger or a thief calling out to them. The voice of the shepherd is important. It's crucial. In the gospel, Jesus calls Satan the father of lies, the deceiver. He also warns against false prophets and teachers, those conflicting voices that oppose his own, because he recognizes and knows that they will lead his sheep into danger. I don't think many Catholics recognize either that we're in the middle of a spiritual war, that there are wolves encircling us and prowling, seeking to scatter and devour. The world around us, I think increasingly so, is aggressively secular, and there are many competing voices out there constantly proposing answers to fundamental questions about the meaning of life, about questions such as, who are you? What brings happiness? What is love? What is beauty? What is the definition of success? Is there really objective truth? Is there really such thing as objective morality? The world is increasingly, I think, trying to get us to look at life one way, answering these questions for us in one way, while Christ, the Good Shepherd's voice, offers a very different perspective. And what's ultimately at stake is, in our lives, is whether we are willing to receive the one who has been sent to us by the Father to give us eternal life or not. That's what's ultimately at stake. And I think many Catholics take it for granted. Eternal life is at stake. If we are willing to receive and believe the one whom the Father has sent to us. First of all, we all need to attend to our own salvation. Step one. If we aren't tending to our own salvation, if we aren't growing in a relationship with Jesus, we can't help anyone else. We have to make sure we have both feet firmly planted in Christ's boat. Not simultaneously clinging to sin and the pagan culture. We can't have it both ways. So the question for us, first of all, individually, as individuals, is, have we really accepted the Lord's offer of love and friendship? And are we striving to cultivate that love and that friendship? Have we really committed ourselves to lifelong growth as a loving disciple? That's number one. Number two, once we've done that, we then have to commit ourselves to participate with Jesus in his mission to seek and save the lost. In other words, evangelization. That's why the church exists. There's an important connection that we can't miss between in John's gospel, between Jesus today in John 10, telling us that he is the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. And then later on, when he rises from the dead and appears to Peter, Simon Peter, what does he say? Simon, son of John, do you love me? Tend my sheep. Feed my sheep. Three times he says this. So we have to help carry on the Good Shepherd's mission to gather what the enemy seeks to divide, to scatter. According to Dr. Ralph Martin, one of the greatest deceptions that Satan has accomplished today in our culture, in our time, is to reverse the words of Jesus in the gospel. Listen to this. Here's the deception. And he claims that this deception is undermining people's commitment to holiness and to evangelization. Here it is. Broad and wide is the way that leads to heaven. And almost everyone is going that way. Narrow is the door that leads to hell, and hardly anyone is going that way. This is exactly the opposite of what Jesus says. The fundamental revelation of Scripture is that God, through his Son, is offering salvation, is offering eternal life to the human race. But it requires a yes on our part. It requires a choice, a decision made in freedom to accept God's offer of salvation, to accept God's mercy. It's not automatic. We have to heed the voice of the Good Shepherd. His voice alone, who tells us to repent and believe in the gospel. We have to accept his offer of mercy. St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, do not be deceived. The immoral will not inherit the kingdom of God, he says. And he goes on to list a number of immoral actions, sins, including sins of sexual immorality, which are very prevalent today. For example, he lists fornication, adultery, sodomy. Sexual morality is a topic that is a sin that's plagued our culture today. And it's one that touches many of our lives, I understand that. Many of our family members. But there's immense pressure today. We have to realize, I think we do realize, but it's worth stating, there's immense pressure today to agree with people that sexual immorality is okay. There's immense pressure. Many of us, again, have family members who struggle with this, but we can never agree with them that what they're doing is okay. What they're doing is right. We have to love them, yes, but love does not mean affirming that immorality is okay. There's no love when there's no truth. Love is firmly rooted in the truth. We also can't give up interceding for their salvation. Ever. We can't stop praying. If we give up, if we concede, we stop praying. And again, eternal life is at stake here. The gospel has, I think, lost a sense of urgency today. And there's some pastors in the church today who have grown tired and have sought to lower the bar from where St. Paul and Christ set it. But the church has said, and this is from the Second Vatican Council, quote, "Everything asserted by the sacred authors should be considered to be asserted by the Holy Spirit, and to teach firmly, faithfully, and without error, those truths which God wished to consign to the sacred authors for the sake of our salvation." For the sake of our salvation. Everything in Scripture is God's mercy to us. It's God extending His mercy to us. It's the voice of the Good Shepherd, which never leads astray, but leads us to eternal life and eternal joy. Don't let anyone deceive you, as St. Paul has said. The good news is that those who are on the broad path don't need to stay there. While there's life, there's hope. But we need to speak the truth in love. We need to learn when to speak and when to be silent. And never stop praying. So I would propose, and trust me, when I'm preaching to you, I'm also challenging myself. I would propose that we take up the Scriptures again and read them. They're given to us as a lifeline. Read the Scriptures again. It's going to ground us in the truth. It's going to prevent us from deception. We'll learn to recognize the voice of Christ, the Good Shepherd, so we don't follow the voices of strangers and thieves. And finally, let's pray for the church. Let's pray for our Holy Father. Let's pray for the bishops, the priests, those who are charged with the ministry of the word. I need your prayers as well. And let's pray for one another.